In connection with Lord's Day 9, God the Father in the organization of the essential teachings of the Scriptures and of the Gospel, we consider the Father of Lights from James chapter 1, verse 7, or rather verse 17. The Father of Lights who gives gifts. Have you ever thought of God the Father that way? The Father of Lights? Such an interesting title, a blessed name that God has to be a Father, but the Father of Lights. And we're told that is who in John chapter 1, verse 17 is the giver of these gifts. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of Lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And as we consider together this blessed Father and his blessed gifts, I'd like to let you know that many of the points I've been led to has been with the assistance of a Puritan named Thomas Manton in his commentary on James. Well, the Father of Lights who gives gifts. Well, first, who is it who gives? It is the Father. The Father. We're told very simply, the Father of Lights. But that's really not all that strange according to the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, we're told, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. It seems very fitting he'd be revealed to us as the Father of Lights. Further, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we're told to pray by our Lord Jesus, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. We'll notice a bit further, later, the character of this blessed Father, that it's a heavenly description. The very words used to describe him refer to the stars and the heavens. And as we've been able to consider from the Lord's Prayer in the time past, our Father which art in heaven highlights his power, his dignity, his authority, the one who can do all things, the one who is above all. And again, seeing that such a biblical picture, so fitting he is described as the Father of Lights. But not only, as our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But further, we're told by our Lord Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, and again, note the description, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Notice how beautiful that is. How simple. God, the Father of Lights. He who is in heaven, and as we read together from the Heidelberg Catechism, turning all things together with his amazing power, working all things for the good of his people. As Lord's Day 9 put it, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, will all that is with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. We'll see a bit further how we ought to rely on him and look to him. But notice how beautiful, how simple, the description of him as the Father of Lights. Next time you look up on a sunny day and you see the sun when the clouds are gone, or as they pass by that giant glowing globe, think of the Father of Lights. If you look up at night and you see the stars, even if you only see one or two, if you look up in the night sky and you can't tell if it's a planet or a star, it doesn't make a difference. Forget about the astronomical signs. and think about the Father of lights, how he truly is a heavenly Father and beyond all things in heaven and in earth. The one who gives is described as the Father, but also as one who does not change, as one who does not change. And this is where the beautiful language of the heavenly bodies and the sky come together so fittingly. In James chapter 1, verse 17, he is the Father of lights with whom? With whom? Or in other words, he's like this. Is no variableness, no change, nor shadow of turning. It's one of the amazing things about the heavenly bodies, isn't it? They change. They move. Have you ever been to the Southern Hemisphere? South Africa? Australia? Same stars, but they look different. Throughout the seasons, the heavenly bodies move and rotate as the earth turns. There's change. And when the change isn't there, it's a sign something's wrong. There's regular cycles of change in the heavenly bodies, and that's a blessed and normal thing. How about throughout the day? Next time you're outside on the playground, next time you're outside with your friends, look at where your shadow is. The sun, from our point of view, moves across the sky. It changes, doesn't it? From morning to noon to night. And where does your shadow go? That's even the way we used to tell time. The change was a regular thing. But not God. God doesn't change. Think of how beautiful this should be. How encouraging it can be to the heart of a sinner. To have a God who is a Father. And a God who doesn't change. Isn't that some of the problem sometimes, boys and girls? Sometimes Dad changes. He changes. Sometimes Dad comes home and you put your arms up and shout, Daddy, because you're happy to see him. And sometimes he's very happy to see you, isn't he? Puts his arms around you, picks you up, throws you in the air, plays with you. And other times what happens? He's grumpy. He's angry. Maybe he had a bad day at work. Maybe something happened. Maybe he has to stop and do something else. You don't always know what your father's going to do or how he's going to be. And fathers, isn't that sometimes the difficulties of our own hearts and the challenges of our own callings? To always treat our children with love and care. To always be able, by the grace of God, to sacrifice for our wives. To always keep our temper. To always be so self-disciplined. Our very failings in this area as fathers, and perhaps your very longings for what you want a father to be, or would it be young men who are considering marriage and children are coming, the type of father you want to be, is modeled for us in God the Father. That is the type of father a sinner can have for Jesus' sake. Child of God, remember the kind of father you have as you look up into the skies. Remember all the blessings that come with that a marvelous passage of God's word. I, the Lord thy God, change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. But if you are not a child of God, and you are an enemy of God, and you are left to your devices in this life and in this world, and perhaps you're beginning to see your need for someone to take care of you, come to this heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's greater than all your shortcomings, all your failings, all your changeableness. And he will provide you strength by the power of his Spirit for the sake of the sacrifice of his Son, to equip you for the calling and life he will give you. The blessing it is to know who gives these gifts. A Father who does not change. But what is given? What is given? every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down. What is given? Gifts. Good gifts. Perfect gifts. Spiritual gifts. Gifts for His people. Notice first, God doesn't give evil. God doesn't give evil. It's good. That really seems to be what some would consider the burden of James's mentioning of this verse and those that briefly follow. He not only speaks of God giving every good and perfect gift, and that God is the Father of lights, and that He is always reliable and does not change. And then verse 18, of His own will begat He us. He gave us life, life in Christ by His own power. He gave us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. But notice this comes along the very same mentioning of the fact that evil comes too. If you look with me at verse 13 of James chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. And there is a tremendous contrast then with what follows. God does not tempt. The problem is not that evil comes from God. The problem is that evil comes from us. We're told in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And then our text. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. When temptation comes, when trouble comes, when sin comes forth from you, don't blame God. Don't blame the Father. Blame the right source, your own sinful heart. What comes from God? What comes from God is everything good, everything perfect for redemptioning and strengthening. That is what comes from God. Not evil, but good. And it's very important to remember that about God. We sometimes, in the midst of our theological reasoning, twist the sovereignty of God. We mistakenly judge the character of God based on our own sinful models we've seen or our own shortcomings, rather than who the Heavenly Father has revealed Himself in Christ. Good is what comes from Him, not evil. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And then in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. He gives good gifts, perfect gifts, for the strengthening and work of His people. That's the import that follows with verse 18 of James chapter 1. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. As Thomas Manton put it, these gifts are spiritual gifts that come down from heaven. He highlights how the language of the gifts coming down emphasize God's gracious condescension and purposeful design. Gifts don't happen by accident, do they? When you give a gift to someone, what do? Do you just grab something and give it to them? You think about who they are, what they need, what they mean to you, what the occasion is for the gift. It's a very purposeful thing. It takes thought, takes time. Our God is blessedly purposeful in everything He does. And He tailor makes and gives His gifts in condescending grace for the blessings of His people. They're good. They're perfect. They are spiritually focused. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 talks about the gift of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul's reasoning there in Romans 6, 23, very similar to that of James. In verses 13 through 16 and 17, the sin is from us. The grace and the goodness is from Him. But then further in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice again the beautiful theme that all connects. Our Father which art in heaven, the Father of lights, blessed gifts that we have in Christ, in whom God is our heavenly Father. So there is the spiritual blessings. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. As I mentioned from Matthew chapter 5, God certainly does give good gifts to everyone who do not deserve anything like rain and sunshine. But here in James, the focus is on the strengthening, the equipping, the condescending love and design of what those who are begotten by the power of His Word need. But they need to be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. Notice how amazing this is. The character of the Father, the marvelous, wonderful nature of His gifts. And in light of that, how are we to respond? How do you respond to a heavenly Father? How do you respond to these blessed gifts? What is the right way? Well, how are we to respond to this heavenly Father for Jesus' sake, who gives such marvelous and wonderful gifts, perfect and good gifts, for the strengthening of His people? What should our response to Him be? Well, firstly, happiness, joy, contentedness. Is that how you feel when your dad comes home? Fathers, is that how we want our children to feel when we come home? The answer should be absolutely. What a blessing it is, and some of you even know it now as grandparents. Children come to your house because your children have brought their children to you. And they burst through the door, stumbling over their shoes as they run into the living room, saying, Grandma, Grandma, Grandpa, Grandpa, Oma, Opa. And they're all so excited. It's amazing joy. The children are happy to see you. And you are happy to see them. They raise your heart and you're filled with joy. Whether you have children of a young age, whether you have grandchildren of a young age, even with adult children, when they come to you asking for help, asking for guidance, saying, Dad, can you help me with this? What would you do? Whether you sit and talk over a cup of coffee or whether you're out in the fishing boat. Just to know your children look to you, to know your children support you. We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy as children of a heavenly Father for Jesus' sake, contented, knowing He will care for us in every way. He is called the Father of lights. In Luke chapter 16, verse 8, those who are His children, though those who are begotten by the word of truth, to reference verse 18 of James chapter 1, those in Luke 16, verse 8, are called children of light, like their Father. And as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it for us, notice what emotional resonance should come with these words. on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary, soul and body, certainly content. And further, that he will make me with, and further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in the valley of tears turn out to my advantage. Encouragement? Hope? For he is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. Joy? Happiness at his blessed provision? These things all form a right response to the Father of lights. Is that your response? Is that my response to the Father of lights? Or do we think of him somehow different? Not as he has revealed himself to in his word as the Heavenly Father. Not as the Father of lights. Not as the giver of good gifts. We should be contented. We should be happy. We should be joyful. If we are not, why not? What is lacking in the Heavenly Father? Do we not understand him as he has shown himself to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? The Father showed himself to us in the Son. Perhaps you remember, Philip wanted to be shown the Father. And what did the Lord Jesus say? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We are told in the book of Hebrews that the Father is revealed to us, explained to us through the express image of his Son. We must think rightly of him. I've had an opportunity to emphasize this to you now several times, not only as we considered together previously the Lord's Prayer, but as we considered it last Sabbath. Why do we do this? Well, because the Heidelberg Catechism does it. Not only as we consider the Apostles' Creed, but the Lord's Prayer. But it is especially pressing to us because we have lost fatherhood, rightly understood, in our culture today. Because the devil assaults fatherhood so much. Because we struggle. If we do love the Lord Jesus Christ and we are fathers, to be the kind of fathers we are called to be. And there is always the whispering of the devil in the ears of God's people that God will not love, that God will not care, that God will not accept, that God will not give gifts. And we must ever be vigilant, for he who goes around is a roaring lion seeking to consume. We must always think rightly of this Heavenly Father and of his gifts. And would it be that we would respond in happiness, contentedness, and joy for what he has done? That's just one response to consider. There is a second. Just for the sake of time, we consider together, we should respond with humility. Humility. Thomas Manton quotes 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, in regards to this line of application. He says, the Apostle Paul, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Consider those words in light of verse 17 of James chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down. Not one good gift comes from anywhere else. To put it another way, everything the Christian has is a gift. Everything. Everything is a gift. Everything. And when we think of those things through their proper spiritual lens, is there room for anything but humility? Absolutely not. Again, from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou has not received it. If every good thing you have comes from God, we ought to be humble toward Him, shouldn't we? We shouldn't be proud towards God, thinking we have achieved anything spiritually, but rather place ourselves low. The example of our Lord Jesus is in the Beatitudes for those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, who don't have what they need, but look to Him for it. They look to the giver of gifts for every provision and trust Him and thank Him for it, not boasting, taking for granted, or puffing up. But not only towards God, we could say, but towards one another. Towards one another. If we truly have received everything from the Father of lights, every good gift and every perfect gift, if it has come to us from above, graciously, condescendingly, by design, how should we feel towards one another? We should be humble as well. Not envious of each other's gifts. Not wishing we had what someone else had. Not looking down on judging someone that doesn't have what we have or what we think they should have, but praising God and being thankful and recognizing God's gracious work and the blessed gifts and the glorious design He has shown in other people. Being aware of what we lack so we can see what they have, so we can serve together. What a blessed twofold response. Happiness, contentedness, joyfulness, but also humility. So often in the world, these two things work against each other. In the work of God, these things fit perfectly together. Being happy, being content, placing ourselves low before God and others. Is that how you respond to Him? Do you have a desire to serve Him? To, as it were, bow before Him and offer yourself in service to Him and to His people? That is the right response to knowing who this blessed Father of lights is and His marvelous and miraculous gifts. If our response is not contentedness, if our response is not humility, then something has gone wrong. We have misunderstood God. Pride has found its place in our hearts. If fear and anxiety have begun to grip us, something has gone terribly wrong. We have not heard the words of our instructor in the Heidelberg Catechism. And more blessedly and importantly, we have not heard the words of Scripture that tells us, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Verse 16 of John chapter 1, or James chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can call Thee Father for Jesus' sake. We thank Thee for the wisdom of the Heidelberg Catechism and how it treats Thee so beautifully and fully according to Thy work and Thy person as a Father. For Jesus' sake, we ask as well, Heavenly Father, that Thou indeed would cause us to receive this engrafted word with meekness, that we, Lord, would know Thy forgiving grace and strength for so often thinking of Thee wrongly. And we pray, our Lord and our God, that as we continue in this week, we would think of Thee as we see the lights in the heavens, and give Thee glory, and find contentedness, and joy, and a humility of heart remembering who thou art. Lord and God, we thank thee for this time together to worship. We thank thee for all the assistance that we have in worship, the diligent work of the sound people, the diligent work of those who play instruments to assist us in worshiping in song. Help us, Lord, to appreciate all the different gifts thou hast given, so that we would honor thee. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.